2008 and 2009 is just around the corner. And I want to talk to you about breakthrough, preparing for breakthrough in your life. Preparing for breakthrough. You know, the enemy wants to overwhelm and surround us with a wall of circumstances and problems. He wants to present that all those problems and circumstance in our life that it seems to be an impenetrable wall, an immovable object, something that just cannot seemingly be overcome. Excuse me. His plan is to choke out all the life, the faith, the hope, and the expectation that you have in your life. And there can come a time in your life where you feel like it's just hopeless, it's useless. Why do I even try to go forward? You know, I'm still going to love God, but you know, I'm just not going to hit another lick at it other than I'm just going to love God. I'm just tired of fighting. I'm tired of praying. I'm tired of believing. You know what? You're in the place of breakthrough. You need a breakthrough in your life. Turn over to Judges, the book of Judges over there, chapter 6. I want to read some scripture here. And listen, you know, if you're in that place, hallelujah, you're in the right place this morning because I've got a word for you, a fresh word for you that's going to help you. And then at the end of the message, we're going to pray and come into agreement with you concerning the area of breakthrough that you need in your life. You know, this is why we need one another, because there's sometimes when I'm feeling like, man, I just can't take another step in front of the other. And I need somebody else that will come up alongside me and grab a hold of me and say, hey, brother, we can make it. You're going to make it. I'm going to stand with you. Yeah, here you go. You can have some of my faith. I'm going to hook up with you and agree with you. And we're going to see this thing through. Amen. Amen. That's why you need the body of Christ. That's why I need you and you need me. Amen. Not because I'm perfect or you're perfect or I got all the answers or you got all the answers, but we need the strength of one another in agreement as we walk through this thing called Christian life. In Judges 6, you remember, Judges is the book, the first book that reveals what begins to happen after the children of Israel are delivered from Egypt. They finally, a generation rises up out of the wilderness and says, bless God, we're going in. And they did. They went in and they occupied the land. Now they're in the land. And you know, as Spirit-filled believers, you know, you say, well, why would a Spirit-filled believer need a breakthrough in their life? I mean, aren't they saved? Yeah. Haven't they entered into the promises of God? Yeah. Haven't they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Just like the people here. They were living in the land that God gave them. They were living in their inheritance. They were in the exact place God had ordained for them. But yet we're going to read here and see that there came different times when they needed some breakthroughs in their life. And the reason is, you know, in the corporate or in the natural world, the business world, and speaking, you know, from that point of view, people talk about sometimes, you know, they talk about hitting a ceiling. In other words, you hit that ceiling and it seems like you can't go any higher. You can't seem to go to the next level, whether it be in the corporate world or in the business world or whatever. And it's just like, you know, and even in the spiritual realm, it can be that way. It's like you come to a place where, you know, you've had victories and victories and victories and you've walked through a lot of things. You can look back at your life and say, praise God, God delivered me from Egypt. He brought me out of wilderness. We crossed the Jordan. We defeated the giants. We saw the walls fall. But there's come a point in time in my life where I feel like I've hit against a wall. Can I get a witness anywhere? In Judges 6, verse 1, it says, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Boy, it doesn't sound like they're living in the promised land, does it? From that description. But they were. If you go back and read in Deuteronomy, God said this. He said, when you get in the land of promise, he said, you're going to live in houses you didn't build. He says, when your cattle multiplies and your silver and your gold multiplies and all that you have is multiplied, don't forget the Lord your God. Amen. That was God's picture and vision for them in the promised land. But here they are living in caves and cliffs out in the countryside. Why is that? And too many times as believers, if we're not careful, even though we're born again, we're spirit filled, we're the people of God, we have the promises of God, we're not living in God's best because what? We've come to that place we need a breakthrough. It says he prepared shelter for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza. You ever feel like just about the time it seems like you do get something from God, you get a breakthrough, the Amalekites and the Midianites come into your life and they take the crops that you've planted and prayed for, believed for? Our children? Other things in our life, they come right in and they take it. We might need a breakthrough. And ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like a swarm of locusts. Huh. It was impossible to count the men, the camels. They lived and invaded the land to ravage it. Midian, listen to this, so impoverished Israelites, they cried out to the Lord for help. Amen. The only good thing that came out of that was what? They got so impoverished. They were so defeated. They were living so far below what God had intended for them and called them to live in the land of promise that finally somebody got smart enough and said, you know what? We need to just seek God's face. We need to cry out to God. We need to find out, well, God, wait a minute. This doesn't look like that what you said over there. This doesn't look like I'm living in the houses you intended. This doesn't look like that I'm the head, not the tail. It looks like I'm the tail and not the head. It looks like all of a sudden everything that God said is turned upside down in my life. And where I'm supposed to be the blessed, I'm the oppressed. And the enemy has come in and impoverished me. Not just financially, but spiritually. He's impoverished my peace. He's impoverished my faith. He's impoverished my strength and my hope. I've given up on my dreams. Thank you, brother. But here's the thing. Listen, he said they cried out to the Lord. Now I want to share with you some signs that a breakthrough may be needed in your life. These are some signs. You can look. You can kind of diagnose your own case. Here's some signs. First, when I've been at the same place for a long time, or I keep dealing with the same issues without victory. Thank you. Come on. I understand. Listen, don't misunderstand me. I understand that overcoming things in victory, it is a process. I understand that. But you know, there comes a time when you actually do move through the process. There comes a time when you actually do get a victory. Amen? If you've been dealing with something 10, 15, 20 years, you've been dealing with something. Listen, you might need a breakthrough in that area. There's an indication there that you might need something to happen there that we call breakthrough. Maybe fear. You've never gotten the victory over fear. Fear, even though you're born again, you're spirit-filled. You love God with all your heart. There's something about fear. When you hear about the economy, it's fear. You hear about them laying people off jobs. Fear just grips your heart. I mean, you know, and you just can't help but fear, and you're worried. You're worried about tomorrow and what's going to happen, and am I going to be able to pay my bills? Am I going to do all? Fear gets a hold of you. Maybe it's an area of unforgiveness. Maybe you've just, that's ruled your heart, and you have the hardest time forgiving people that do you wrong. You just can't seem to let go of that thing somebody did to you. I mean, you can't let go of it. You won't let go of it. You've tried. You've cried and spit and sputtered and asked God, and you still got, you might need a breakthrough. Amen? Or you've come to a place, like I said, where you've just given up. You've lost hope. You're hopeless. You've just given up. You're not even trying to believe God anymore. You're not even trying to get victory. You've just settled in your mind, thank God I'm going to heaven, but I'm just never going to have victory here on earth. Listen, let me tell you, you're in line for a breakthrough. Maybe you've experienced failure. If you haven't, you're the only one in the body of Christ that never has. Maybe you've experienced failures or setbacks. How many of you know things don't always go just one, two, three for you? Yeah. So maybe you're facing that. It could be something. Or maybe you're facing and God's dealing with you about change and you don't change good. I just don't deal with change good. I like things to stay the way they are because I'm comfortable with that. I'm good with that. It seems like, you ever notice just about the time you get comfortable, God starts stirring you around? So if these things are happening, you might be in need of a breakthrough. Or this, I'm always in a place of lack. There doesn't ever seem to be enough. Not just financially, that's one area, but maybe not enough peace, not enough faith, not enough vision, not enough dreams. So there's an area or areas of lack in my life. And I'm talking about, this has been here for a while. I mean, I look back over the landscape of my life and I can see, I can't hardly remember a time since I've been saved where this wasn't here. It's always been here. It's been here. It's been staring me in the face. It's been the elephant in the room that I've tried to ignore, but I just can't ignore it anymore. I'm tired of walking around that thing. I'm tired of pretending it's not there. It's time for us to face the facts and say, you know what? Maybe it's time that I need a breakthrough in my life. In other words, the enemy in some area of your life gets a stranglehold on your supply line from heaven. Amen. How many of you know there's a supply line from heaven? You know we're in a warfare, don't you? And you know, what's one of the first things the enemy would want to try to do in warfare, if two armies are fighting each other, one of the first things they try to do is what? Cut your supply line. Isn't that right? Because when they cut your supply line, they know it's only a matter of time that you're going to weaken. You're going to grow weaker and weaker and weaker, and I'm going to be able to come in and do what I want to. I'm just going to wear you down. And many times, this is what happens when we're talking about needing this breakthrough in an area, is in an area, our supply line, the enemy has got a stranglehold on it. Fear's got a stranglehold on it. Doubt's got a stranglehold on it. Whatever it may be, hopelessness, he's got a hold on that thing. And the whole idea of it is to bring you to a place where you become either so weak you're ineffective or you just literally give up. Now, I didn't say you weren't going to heaven, but I'm just saying you're not in the battle now. Isn't that right? And there are a whole lot of Christians that way. And this is the way what happened to the children of Israel. Here they were. They were in the land God promised them. Listen, if you're a believer, the Bible says this. He said that you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You've entered into your inheritance. All the promises of God, 6,000 plus of them, are yours. They belong to you. All the blessings of God are yours. All that God said about victory and overcoming and having the enemy under your feet, all of that belongs to you, just like all of it belonged to those Israelites who came in. But what? We allow the enemy to come in. And a lot of times we're not even conscious that we've done it, because you know, it just kind of creeps in. Just kind of creeps in on you. And all of a sudden you wake up and you realize, wait, what's going on here? Wait a minute here. You know, and a good barometer of where the enemy has come in like that is find out what you're saying. What's coming out of your mouth? Well, I'm afraid that. Well, I tell you what, it never works out for me. I tell you what, I'm just tired of all this. Come on, isn't that right? I'm talking about that's coming out of your mouth all the time. You know what I'm saying? It's chronic. And that, what all that's saying is your mouth is telling you, your heart is telling you, look where you're at. Isn't that right? And a third area, we're diagnosing our case, where I might recognize these symptoms that I need a breakthrough is this. I've become satisfied and complacent in my life. And now the Christian life has become boring. It's kind of like, you know, they say in the world, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And now we start looking around for something else to satisfy us. Hello? May not necessarily be something evil. Could be. But just something else all of a sudden. Now, God doesn't satisfy me. I'm not as excited about the things of God or God. My relationship with God is not quite as important. Now, you know, if we ask you, you're going to tell us it is. You know? But if I was honest with myself, I'd realize, you know, I've lost my passion. My passion for God, for the kingdom of God, for the things of God, to see all that God has spoken over my life come to pass. I'm not as passionate for it. I'm kind of like, it's okay. I'm kind of settled. I'm kind of, you know what I mean? Okay. So in any of these three areas, if that touched you a little bit, you may be in need of a breakthrough. It may be time for you to break through. If you realize you're living below what God has promised you and what God has called you to, it may be what? Time for a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm telling you what, breakthrough is not hard, okay, to understand how to get it. But here's the thing, to get out of that place, you know what? Sometimes it's unfortunate we have to get to the place these Israelites were. They became so impoverished. We begin to see our lack so much that all of a sudden it confronts us. You know, there comes a time where God, in His mercy, will allow us to be confronted by things. How can we change? How can we acknowledge and move from point A to point B if somehow by the Spirit of God we are just like the Israelites? He said they became so impoverished. All of a sudden they looked one day and said, "Wait a minute, what's going on here? What have we allowed to happen here in Israel, in our lives, in my family? What have I allowed? I've stopped fighting. I've stopped believing. I've stopped going after God's best. What's going on here? Wait a minute." And God will bring us to that place and time so that we can say, "Hey, wait a minute here. I need to be like Samson. I got to shake myself here." You know, I found this out. Boy, I'm telling you what, at being a human being, isn't it? It's so easy to blame, isn't it? Blame the devil, blame God, blame other Christians, blame your in-laws, your outlaws, blame somebody. That too. But whatever, blame somebody. Listen, as a human being, I'm the same way. It's easy to do, isn't it? It's much easier to do that than to allow God to confront me. You remember when David was on the throne, God sent Nathan there, you know, after he had taken Bathsheba. And God sent Nathan the prophet there, and he used an analogy to confront David. Remember that? He said, "I want to tell you a story, King David." He said, "Okay, go ahead and tell me." He said, there was this wealthy man, very wealthy, owned many houses, land, sheep, you know, camels, the whole thing. And said a friend of his came to him on a surprise visit. But rather than taking one of his own sheep and slaughtering it, he went and stole one from his neighbor's. And it was his not only did he steal it from his neighbor's sheep, but it was his special sheep, his prized sheep, his valuable sheep. It's like one of the members of the family. But he took it and stole it, killed it, and ate it and served it up. And it said David got so mad, he said, "Bring me that man. We're going to kill him." And Nathan said, "You're the man." Oh, ouch. And sometimes God has to say that to us, isn't it? Because we can blame people. We can blame even the devil. Man, boy, I tell you, if all else fails, blame the devil. Isn't that right? And I'm not taking up for him, but sometimes there has to be that point of confrontation where God says, just like he said through the prophet, the Spirit of God has to say to us, "You're the one. You're the man. You're the man. You're the one that's got to make a decision here. You're the one that's got to make a choice here. You're the one. Stop blaming everybody else. Stop putting that off on everybody else and take a good hard look." So how are we going to get through our breakthrough? The first thing is we're going to have to assess my situation. I'm going to have to come to this point just like the Israelites here did, where I realize I've become so impoverished. And by that, I'm not necessarily talking about financially. You know, he wrote to the church over there in Laodicea. He said, "You're all wealthy and rich," but he said, "You don't realize you're impoverished. You need some eye salve so you can see yourself as you really are." And so first thing is what getting my breakthrough is what? I've got to cry out to God. I've got to seek God. Just like said, they became so impoverished, they begin to cry out to God. Stop blaming and start praying. That's the first step. I start crying out to God. Oh God, you may even need to do a little fasting with your prayer. First of the year here, I'm going to give you an opportunity. We're going to do some of that together. But here's the thing. But seek God. God. God, I'm tired of the same old. I'm tired of being in the same place I've been for the last 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, whatever years. I'm tired of this thing just being like Jabez in my life. I'm ready to turn Jabez into Jerusalem. I'm tired of the strongholds in my life. I'm tired of the things that are holding me back, the fears, the doubts, all this junk in my life. God, enough is enough. I'm putting my foot down. By the help of God, I'm declaring that this is my year breakthrough. I'm going to break through this year. I'm going to break through. I'm not going to be self-satisfied any longer. I'm not going to blame everybody any longer. I'm going to break through. And listen, you got to begin to seek God. Seek God. Listen, church, seek God. The Bible says, seek Him while He may be found. The indication is there, you may want to seek Him when He can't be found. Hello? Come on. See, sometimes if we're not careful, we kind of think God's kind of like our heavenly butler. We just, when on our time and our agenda and our place and under, you know, we'll set the parameters and then God, you fit into this. You fit into my schedule. You fit into my life. You fit into my convenience. You fit into all that. Listen, I got news for you. God ain't going to be in any of that. We fit into His plan, His timing, His schedule, His life. Isn't that right? Well, you know, I've had people say, well, when I get the time, Brother Norris, I'll do it. Listen, you're not impoverished enough, I reckon. Isn't that right? To cry out. So the first thing is seek God. The second thing is plant seeds. Plant seeds. Oh, listen to me. Listen, the seeds you sow determine the crop you grow. Okay? If you don't like the crops you've been given, you've been getting, listen, you know what you need to do? Is go look at the seed you've been sowing. You want a breakthrough in an area this year. Listen, breakthrough, listen, prayer is the beginning point and it's very important. But listen, just praying alone won't do it. You've got to plant some seed. You've got to plant some seed. Listen, the way to move from being barren to productive is what? Plant seed. Isn't that right? Plant the seed of God's Word in your heart. Plant. They're all kind of seeds. The seed of prayer, the seed of faith, the seed of the Word of God. They're all kind of, maybe you need some knowledge. Maybe you need some more information. The Bible says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Maybe you need some knowledge about that area. You know, listen, but do something that you begin to plant some good, godly, righteous, Word-based seed in your life. You know, one of the things is begin to plant seed in other people. In other words, help other people achieve their dream, achieve their goals. Help other people get their breakthrough. The Bible said about Job, it says when he prayed, for all his friends, then God delivered him. There's always some seed that God wants us to plant. As we pray, God begin to show us we need to plant some seeds. What are the seeds I need to plant? It might be the seeds of forgiveness. That might be the seed that we need to do. It might be the seed of unconditional love for a family member that just never, you've prayed over them, fasted over them. I mean, you've cried over them, slobbered over them, everything in the world, you know what I mean? I mean, you've done everything. But maybe you just need to plant the seed of unconditional love. Maybe you've been afraid, well, if I love them that way, they're going to think I condone what they do. Well, let them think it. I mean, who put you in charge? Are you the thought police? Who put you in charge of what other people think? Isn't that right? Stop worrying about, I mean, you can't help what folks think, can you? Lord have mercy. Even God doesn't do that. He's God. Just do what God said. Plant the seed. What? Believe in this. Let them think what they want to. I believe this. These seeds that we're planting, they're God's seeds. They're good seeds. They're eternal seed. They're supernatural seed. And they're going to produce a harvest. And there's going to come breakthrough in my life. Why? Because I begin to plant the seed. Listen, a seed is your faith put into motion. You say you believe, let's see the seed. Isn't that true? Whatever it is. Whatever it is. You say, I believe that God, you know, is a good God and that He loves people and He wants to forgive people, then you sow that seed. Sow that seed. I believe that God will supernaturally meet my needs this year. He's going to bless me financially, no matter what it looks like out in the natural. God is not limited by that. Well, listen, you plant some seed. Amen? Faith without works is D-O-D, dead on arrival. Isn't that right? Sure. Plant some seeds. We just read that, but I'm going to read it again over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Listen to what he says here. And really listen, because I want this word to sink in. Listen to this. Listen to this. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower. Now, a lot of times we get our eyes on the word seed. I want you to get your eyes on the word sower. Who did God say? Oh, God said he's going to supply seed to everybody. That's not what he said. Seed to the
sower.
Seed to the
sower.
Seed to the
sower.
So it's implied if I'm not a sower, he's not going to supply. Hello. See, we get our eyes on God and the seed sometimes. What you need to do is not worry about God's part. He'll get her done. He'll get it done. But here's the thing. We've got to get our eyes on it. We've got to become a sower. If you want a breakthrough in 2009 in your life, you've got to begin to sow some seeds. And you sow the seed. I mean, you know, a farmer looks at that field and he says, you know what? Pretty much I could, that field will grow anything. It's in good shape. So you know what he does? He decides what? He decides the crop he wants, doesn't he? He can plant corn or cotton or watermelons or tomatoes or wheat or corn or whatever, depending on where he's at. But he can grow pretty much anything. Thing is you got to decide, okay, what is the area I need a breakthrough in? That's the crop I want. So plant the seeds that you need the breakthrough in. And when you seek God and you purpose to become a sower and you're going to sow those seeds, listen, you know what he says here? God's promise. He said, I'll supply the seed. As soon as you get ready, as soon as you get your heart right to be a sower in whatever area of your life, God says, at that point, I will supply the seed. Maybe the reason you haven't had the seed is maybe you really haven't been ready yet to become a sower. So maybe this is the area of your breakthrough will begin when you begin to plant some seeds. You know, planting, sowing seed declares this too. I believe I have a future. I believe I have a future. Man, if the farmer thought he's going to die today, he wouldn't bother to bust his back to plant the seed. Isn't that right? So here's the thing. When I plant seed, sow seed, and I'm saying this, God has a future for me. He has a future for me, Gary. It's good. It's good. I'm gonna live. I'm not only gonna plant the seed, but I'm gonna reap the harvest. I'm gonna eat the fruit of it. I'm gonna bless others with the fruit of it. It's going to what? Multiply, is what he said. So plant seeds. Seed faith is sowing what you've been given to create what you've been promised. I'm gonna say it again. Seed faith is sowing what you have been given. What have you been given? To create what you've been promised. Amen? You need to meditate on that a while. The third thing is build expectations. To build my expectations. Listen, whenever I get to this place where I don't have much expectation. You know, I'm just kind of going through the motions, you know. I'm working a job. I'm getting paid. I'm paying my bills and, you know, one of these days I'm going to heaven and that's it. And that's about all the expectation I have. You know what? You need to revisit and visit God and get in prayer and let God rebuild expectation in your life. Amen. And the one thing that will do that will be the Word of God. Yep. You cannot feed on God's Word without it building an expectation in you. Right. There's an expectation. Listen, there are dreams that God wants to revive in your life. There are new dreams that God wants to give you. You say, but you don't understand. Man, I'm at that age now, I'm ready to settle down. Well, where do you see that at in the Bible? Abraham was 75. God says, okay, boy, it's about time you get started in your ministry. 75. And here's how it's going to start. You're going to have to move to another country, which I'm not going to tell you about till you get there. Oh, Lord.
I'm ready.
You're ready. But here's the thing. What? You know, I'm sure at that age, and Abraham was settled. He was settled. You know he was settled at 75. He was settled down. Life was pretty good. He had all his family around him. Everything was great. What do I need? Some expectations. Don't come messing with my expectations. God, I'm comfortable. God begins to stir. God begins to work. Why? Not just for Abraham. Listen to me now. This is important. It wasn't just for Abraham, although it was for Abraham. But it was something much larger than just Abraham. And how do you know that the dream God gave you and the expectation He's wishes to revive in you will not be something that will be much bigger than just meeting some personal need? It could be a big thing that would change a whole family, a community, a city, a nation. Who knows how big it could be? You know, it starts with a seed. Maybe that dream, that expectation, God gave it to you. It's a seed. And He says, I want you to be the guardian of it. I want you to incubate it. I want you to believe for it. I want you to pray for it. What greater compliment could God pay somebody than to say, I'm going to give you my dream? That's what He did to Abraham. He said, Abraham, boy, I like you. I believe in you. I'm going to give you my dream. Abraham was the custodian of it. The Bible says in Abraham, all the nations. He said, all the nations are going to be blessed through you, Abraham. How do you know? See, maybe you thought that dream was just for you and about you. And I know what it's like to pursue a dream and a vision, expectation. It's not easy. The devil, the flesh, well-meaning people, your own self sometimes becomes an obstacle to it. And you have to fight through it and fight through it. And when you feel like, bless God, I'm just going to give up. Felt like what Brother Hagin said one time. He was at a place. He said, man, it got so tough. He said he told his wife every night. He said, boy, if I didn't know God was in this, I'd just back up a truck in the middle of the night. We'd all load up and we'd take off and I'd never say bye to anybody. They'd come next day and say, what happened to Brother Hagin? You ever felt like that? You ever felt like backing your truck up? You know what I mean? Man, I'm just going to back it up here. Load her up and that's it. Me and Mama, we're going to go somewhere and live happily ever after. But listen, you can't do it. Why? Because it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. It's God's seed. It's God's dream. It's God's purpose in it. So I want to encourage you, get back in the Word of God. Revisit the prophecy. You know, the Bible says, despise not prophesyings. What is the words? Some of you have gotten prophecies. You've gotten the words of the Lord. You've laid those things down because years have gone by and it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Doesn't seem like it's going to come to pass. I want to encourage you and challenge you. Pick those things back up. Feed on the Word of God again. Build the dream. Build the expectation again in 2009. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what's happening. Doesn't matter that it didn't happen last year, year before, the last 5, 10 years. Bless God, this is a brand new day and a brand new year. Do you think Joseph ever had a doubt in his life? I mean, here he is. He gets this prophetic dream. Everybody's bowing down to him. First time he shares it, man, he gets thrown in the pit. Next time he stands up for it, he gets falsely accused and thrown in jail. Does it sound familiar so far? See, if you were like probably like me, especially the first word I got, boy, I was just, hallelujah. Yeah, I was so stupid. I didn't know, you know. But as soon as you get that word, guess what? Opposition. It's a process, and opposition is going to try to, what? Prevent that process. It's going to try to prevent it. It's going to try to steal the dream. It's going to try to steal that prophetic word. It's going to try to steal that promise God spoke to your heart. Whether it's about you or a loved one or a family member or whoever it may be. About a ministry or whatever it is. Listen, build your expectation in 2009. Get back in the Word. Pick back up that prophetic word that God gave you. God, you know, Paul wrote to Timothy. He not only told Timothy, he said, stir up the gift within you. He said, shake off that spirit of timidity. He said, but listen, he said, remember the prophecies that went before on you and use them in your warfare. Come on. Thank you, brother. Build expectations. In other words, what? Water the seed. Water the seed. Look in Proverbs 11. You getting anything out of this? Look over in Proverbs real quickly. Proverbs 11. We're talking about breakthrough. I believe it's time for breakthrough. We're going to pray for, come into agreement with some people for breakthrough here in just a minute or two. Build expectation. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. In other words, as we build this expectation, see it as something more. It's bigger than just what it's going to do for me. Yes, it may bless me. Yes, it may move me into something that God has for me personally. But listen, God never does anything in my life without the expectation that there's going to be a residue and an overflow for others. He will never call you to a ministry that's just going to bless you. He's never going to call you to a prosperity that you just consume on yourself. He'll never call you to have a peace just so you can have it for yourself, or a faith that's just enough for you. It will always, its intention's always that it's bigger. It's bigger. It's bigger. And I build an expectation that in 2009, what God will do in my life, yes, it will bless me or my family, but it's going to be bigger. When I know that God wants to use it to help others, to lift others, others will be saved, others will be delivered, healed, encouraged, they will go forward. Then all of a sudden, I can stand and say, bless God, I'm fighting this thing through. Amen. It's bigger than just me. When I hear about your expectation and what God said to you, I know why. Hey, it's bigger than just that person. Bless God, I'm standing with you. Because we fight this thing through. Listen, when God does something in your life, when there's a breakthrough in your life, I'm telling you, it affects me. Amen. Hallelujah. It does. So we plant seeds. We build expectation. Finally, what? We have to guard our mouth. How are you going to water this thing? How are you going to water the dream? How are you going to water this word? The words that come out of our mouth is the way we water it. What are you saying over your life? Well, it's all over. I've had it. I'm tired. I'm fed up. It's somebody else's fault. Come on. All this stuff starts coming. What are you watering? You're watering the weeds. That's not what I want to come up. I don't want the briars to come up. I want the good stuff to come up. I want the dream. I want the promise. I want the word of God. I want the hope. What God gave me. I want that to come up. Amen. I mean, you know, what does an apple tree grow apples for? Somebody else. Why does God want to grow fruit in your life? For other people's benefit. Amen. Not just your benefit, but for other people. I want other people to enjoy being around me. I want other people to feel lifted when they're around me. I want other people to feel like they can come to me and ask God. They can share things and bless God. I'm not going to be jumping on my both feet. I'm going to say, bless God, let's get in here. We can get this, man. We'll get this thing done. We'll get it done. Amen. So guard your mouth. What are the words? We know the scriptures, Proverbs 18:21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And whoever loves it's going to eat the fruit thereof. And James 3, he said this. He said, you got to guard your mouth. He said, because out of it can come either blessing or cursing. It'd be great if only blessing can come out of it. Wouldn't that have been great? But James taught us it, didn't he? In chapter 3, you can read it over there sometime. He said, you got to watch it because what? He said, you can bless one minute and turn right around the next minute and something else comes out. Isn't that right? And I'm not just talking about you rearing back and cussing. Sometimes that ain't the worst thing that can come out of your mouth. And I'm not condoning cussing. But here's the thing. Sometimes we go, oh, because somebody cussed. But we get around Christians and they can talk death and unbelief and God won't, God can't, God ain't, and something's wrong, this brother's this and this sister's that, and it don't even bother us.
That's a good word right there.
But we can be on the job and some old unbeliever cuss, what'd you expect he's going to do? And we get all offended and indignant. We strain at the gnat and swallow the camel. But listen, we've got to guard our mouth. And listen, this is why it's careful not only what I speak over my life, it's important what I speak over your life. Amen. I'm speaking words over your life. Not only now, it's enough I got to fight the devil and myself. Now I got to fight your words.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Let's don't do that. Let's speak words of grace over one another. Yeah, but they did wrong. Well, you know what? Probably you're going to do wrong once in a while. And when you do wrong, you probably don't want that treatment you're giving them. Isn't that right? The Bible says, he says, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, kick him. Step on him. Talk about him. Run him off. It didn't say that? Oh. So ye which are spiritual, what? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Isn't that right? Guard your mind. We're talking about breakthrough. Seek God in prayer, plant your seeds, build your expectation, and guard your mouth. We could put it this way. In 2009, set some goals. You know what goals are? It's just the harvest you want. That's all it is. Don't get all uptight. Oh, goal. It's just what do you want? It's just like the farmer. Hey, you know what? My goal is I'm going to plant corn out here and have a corn crop. That's his goal. What do you want in 2009? Okay? Once you determine that, then that's going to help you a whole lot determine what kind of seed you're going to plant, right? Because if he says, you know what? I want to harvest corn. But he goes and plants wheat. Guess what? He can pray. He can ask God to give him a crop of corn. Isn't that right? But what's he going to get? You got it. So plant your seed. What do you want? Plant the seed toward your breakthrough. Then what? Build your expectations. Get in the Word of God. Get back up that Word God spoke to you. A promise or a prophecy or both. What did God speak to you? What has God spoken to you that's part of His plan? And realize, you know what? When this thing happens in me, it's going to be bigger than just me. It's going to bless not only my family. It's going to bless other families. It's going to bless other people. It's bigger because you know why? It's God's dream. And you know, I speak this euphemistically, but God doesn't have a selfish bone, as it were, in His body. There is no selfishness in God. So what He does in you is not going to be a selfish thing. It's not going to be just for you. You're for no more. It's going to be bigger than that. And then finally, speak words of life, faith, hope over your seeds. And speak them over everybody else's garden too. Man, when I see somebody, praise God, brother, it's going to be a great year for you. God's going to bring forth the things He's promised you. I'm standing with you. You let me know if I can agree with you. Man, I'll agree with you in prayer that quick. Amen. We run up, you know, sometimes, you know, you get in your field ready and sometimes you plow up against a stump. Some of y'all are too young to know agricultural terms, you know. Before there were fields, it was all woods. And they had to clear. The reason you see fields is because somebody cleared the trees out. And when they'd first be making that field and plowing it up, sometimes they'd be a stump underneath the ground there. They didn't see, and they'd plow up against a stump. And it took some work to get that thing out. But you get it out, then you can plant your seed. 2009, breakthrough. Breakthrough. Amen. Here's what I want to do. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. I believe God wants breakthrough in our lives. And, you know, and listen, don't let this just be a nice message. Let the truth that God speaks to your heart out of this message, let it sink down in you. And you purpose. Listen, if you will purpose in your heart, God will provide what you need. He is waiting for somebody to purpose in their heart. I do a message sometimes, especially like to teach it to young people out of Daniel. You remember when they were in captivity? And Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all three, you know, all four of them there, it said they purposed in their heart. And from that point on, you see nothing but the favor of God. Oh, they went through things. Amen. They faced persecution, the lion's den, the fiery furnace, all kinds of things. But once they purposed in their heart, nothing men could do could deter God's plan for their life. And today, here's what I want to do at our altar time. We're going to purpose in our heart, those of us who are willing. We're going to purpose in our heart that we're going to pick back up and have breakthrough not just for ourselves, our family, but for all those that will be affected. We're going to pick back up the dream, the promise. We're going to raise our expectation. And we're going to say, this morning, God, I'm picking back up the dream. I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to stay in this place where I am. I'm going to see the passion, the spiritual passion renewed in my life. Yes. I'm going to see faith rise back up. I mean, to where it was, where it used to be, and even greater. I'm going to see where I can believe God for miracles, not only for myself, but for others. I'm going to be quick to pray for people. I'm going to raise that expectation. God is big, and He's got big things He wants to do. Amen. Raise our expectations for our community. Listen, God wants to do some great things, Grace. He wants to do some great things in our community. We got to be like Abraham. You know, God told Abraham, He said, lift up your eyes. Stop looking at the dirt. You know what looking at the dirt symbolizes, don't you? All I can see is me. What I need and what I don't have and what I ought to have and what's wrong. And you're just looking at the dirt. But you know what? We lift up our eyes and we look. All of a sudden, we see the possibilities. Wow. What God could do over here. What God could do out there. What God could do over here. How God could touch those lives. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. It becomes exciting. Here's what I want to do. If you say, I'm purposing in my heart, Pastor, for this year in 2009, with the help of God, I'm gonna reach out and seek my breakthrough. I'm going to seek God in prayer. I'm going to plant my seeds. I'm going to raise my expectations. And I'm going to guard my heart and my mouth. And I'm going to water those seeds. If that's you, I want you to stand on your feet. I want to come into agreement with you in prayer. I'm into agreement with you in prayer. Listen. Listen, what you're doing, you're not doing it for me. You're not doing it to impress your neighbor. This is something you're saying this to God. You know, I want to make that clear so that way if anybody wants to sit back down, nobody will think the less of you. But this is something you're doing before God. The Bible says, don't be too quick to vow something before God unless you intend to follow through on it. Okay? It's important to God. And it's not only important to God, it's important to the kingdom. It's important to you, and beyond you, it's important to others are going to be affected by that. I would encourage you in 2009, as you seek God in prayer, say, okay, God, what is it I need to pick back up? What is it I need to pick back up? What is the dream above all of it? What is the dream? What is the purpose? What is it that I need to pick back up? It might be just my spiritual passion for God. It might be a specific ministry or a dream. It might be a battle that you've been fighting, for healing in your body or for a loved one, whatever it may be. But you let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment? Thank you, Tuomo. Now, Father, we've come not to do something religious at the end of a service, but we come humbly. We come reverently. We come in faith the best way we know how, and we say, oh God, that we are tired of the same old in this area of my life. We're tired of it, Lord. We're tired of not having the passion. We're tired, oh God, of the hopelessness we've allowed to come in. We've let the dream go. God, we're going to pick it back up with the help of your Holy Spirit. We're going to pick it back up by the grace of Almighty God individually. And I declare, oh God, as a church here at Grace, we're going to pick it back up. We're going to pick back up the vision. We're going to pick back up the passion. We're going to pick it back up, oh God, the prophecies, the promises, the words spoken to us, oh God. We take them back up. We take them back up. Oh, I sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. In this place right now, speak to God. Speak to God. Speak to God. Speak to God about what you're going to take back up. God, I'm taking it back up. I'm taking it back up. I'm getting back into the battle. I'm going to build my expectations, God. God, forgive me. Forgive me where I've let things go. Forgive me where I've let it slide. Father, I'm going to take it back up. I'm going to take it back up with the help of the Holy Spirit. Oh, rapata masiki boho, eshishi malabata namo sokobo, nilabahar beniva sakaba. Oh, I thank you, oh God. Move upon hearts, speak to hearts in this place right now. Speak to hearts in this place right now, God. Speak to us, speak to us. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Nipara para pari piti. I'm going to take it up, God. I'm going to take it back up, oh God. I'm going to take it back up, oh God. I'm going to take it back up, oh God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, oh God. Father, I pray. I add my faith to my brothers and sisters for breakthrough in their lives this year, oh God. I, Father, believe with them that this will be a year of advancement, oh God, a year of moving forward. I thank you, oh God, it will be a year where, Father, we'll see dreams revived, hopes will be revived, oh God, a new passion will grip us, oh God, as a people of God. We will lift up our eyes and see the expectations that you have for us. We will see it for this church, for this ministry, for our lives, for our community, oh God. Father, we will not be of the naysayers. We'll not be of those who draw back. But Father, by the help of your Spirit, we will move forward. We will move forward in Jesus' name. If you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if my heart is right with God. But before I leave here, that's the first thing I need to do. And I want someone to pray with me. Would you pray with me, Pastor? I want to make sure my heart is right with God. If that's you, if you just lift your hand up and wave it at me, wherever you are, I'm looking. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray with you. Oh, it's so important. It's so important that our relationship, that's where it begins, a relationship with God that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Anyone at all, we want to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father. Father, I thank you, oh God, for what you're doing in the hearts of people right now. God, something supernatural is taking place in this place. Something supernatural is taking place in families, in individual lives. Something supernatural is being regained and retaken. Reborn, revived, and resurrected. You are the resurrection and the life. Oh, though it was dead, yet shall it live again, saith God. Yet shall the dream live again. Yet shall the hope revive. Yet shall your expectation be seen, says the Spirit of the living God. For it is not by might or power which you possess, but it is by my Spirit. As I raised up my son Jesus from the dead, so shall I raise up your dream, your hope. I shall raise it up. I shall breathe upon it, and it shall live again in my presence. Thank you, Lord. We believe it. We believe it. We believe it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lay hold of it. Lay hold of it. Lay hold of it again, church. Lay hold of the dream. Lay hold of the promise. Lay hold of that thing. You be like Jacob. You be like Jacob. He said, I will not let go until I see the blessing. I will not let go. I will not let go. And I tell you this, we here as the family of grace, we stand together in 2009. We're going to stand together for one another. We're going to stand together for your dream, for your purpose, for God's plan. We're going to stand together. We're going to speak words of encouragement. We're going to be ready to help you. We're going to be ready to lift you up. Well, we're going to speak blessing over your life. And right now, I do. In Jesus' name, Lord, I speak blessing over the lives of your people here. I declare, oh God, they shall see the dream, the vision, the harvest, the breakthrough. 2009, Lord, I thank you, Lord. They are well able to rise up and retake it. They are well able because greater is He that is in them than he that is in the world. I thank you they've been given the spirit of faith. They've been given the spirit of might and power. They have the mind of Christ. They are joint heirs with Jesus. The devil is under their feet. They're seated in heavenly places. They are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus. Oh, I thank you. They are the blessed of the Lord. They are the blessed of the Lord. And they do rise up now and retake what has been promised to them. In Jesus' name. Oh, let's give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Breakthrough in our lives. Breakthrough in our church. Breakthrough in our community. Breakthrough. We believe it, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Well, do you believe it? Oh, let nothing deter you in 2009. If you need somebody, sometimes you know we all need somebody. You grab somebody and say, you pray for me. You say, well, I don't know anybody. Well, bless God. Walk across the aisle and introduce yourself. What's the matter with it? I don't have no friend. Well, the Bible said, if you show yourself friendly, you'll have some. Amen. If you don't know somebody, introduce yourself. Say, hey, you know, I've been coming to Grace here for 40 years. How long you been here? Amen. Listen, we're family. We're family. What happens to you matters to me. What happens in your life and your family, it matters to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, can we lift our hands one more time? Thank the Lord. Thank Him for His goodness in your life. Thank Him for His promise in your life. Thank Him for His faithfulness in your life. Thank Him that you have a great expectation in 2009. Oh, we rejoice in you, Lord. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. Life is good. Life is good. Life is good because you are in it. Life is good. 2009, life will be good. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, I bless your people, the wonderful people of God. Lord, it's been good to be here today. Thank you, Lord. You've touched our lives. You've spoken into our lives. God will not be the same. We will not be the same. We will not be the same. Lord, I speak your peace over your people as they go. May they have a blessed day.